The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. And he took it and ate it in front of them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalm must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Jesus is risen. He is alive. And we read about his appearances to the early church to help them believe and give them faith. And as you see today, they were confused and struggling themselves. And they thought he was a ghost. What else would they expect? But he wasn't. He was risen bodily, and he allowed them to touch them and ate with them. What God has revealed in the resurrection is our future, but it's an existence we can't even imagine. And so the early church was not a naive, gullible group. They were doubting, they were confused, and the Lord had to journey with them to help them understand and to have faith. And then he asked them to be witnesses. That is our same journey. The Lord is truly with us. He is risen, but he's not present bodily like he was. But he is present, as these early disciples learned in the breaking of the bread. He is present and speaks to us through the scriptures and opens our minds to the scripture. And he is present when two or more are gathered in his name. He comes amongst us and says, "Peace be with you." A fruit of the Holy Spirit, a divine gift. And we are filled with joy, a divine gift, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's his miracle. He works in us to give us faith, hope, and love, and other fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be fully alive in this life and in the life to come, and that we may be witnesses. And so here in our parish, we continue to help people make that journey to discipleship through our pathway to discipleship, where we have experiences of discover, follow, and share, so that no matter where we are, we can grow deeper and the risen Lord can have more of an opportunity to work that miracle in us so that we can witness to others. And so today we are blessed. We're blessed every day, right? Yes. We are blessed to have a witness who went through our pathway to discipleship last year, and she would like to explain, or I would like her to explain, I'm not sure which, of some of her experiences encountering the Lord still in our midst. Jean Marie Bruno, would you have the courage to come forward?
Thank you, Father Paul. Good morning, everyone. So Father Paul asked me to share some of my the highlights of going through the Discover and Follow and Share program, which, experiences that I went through last year. And for the Discover Christ program, we learn a lot about our faith. And the thing that I learned the most was about the Holy Spirit. So I really didn't know the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the role of the Holy Spirit and how to make that personal. But at the one-day retreat, we spent the day learning about the Holy Spirit. And towards the end of the day, we had the opportunity to have a prayer of commitment. And two parishioners sat with me and put their hands on my shoulder and prayed with me and for me as I asked for the grace of the Holy Spirit. And that day, I experienced the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that hasn't left me. It's been strong. I thought it would fade, sort of like my cell phone battery, but it's been as strong today as it was a year ago. And it's just a joy to wake up every morning and thank God for all the blessings in my life. And it's just a spiritual joy that's stayed with me. In the Follow Christ experience, we focus on our prayer life. And Father Paul introduces each week different ways to pray. And then during the week, we get to practice that and then come back, share with our group how we did, and then learn a new one. And one of the ones we did was Father Paul gave us three Bible passages to choose from. And you read the Bible passage very slowly several times. And then you become, or you select, a character. You could be one of the people in the Bible story. You could be Jesus, you could be a disciple, or you could be a bystander, outsider looking in on the gospel story. So I chose the one from Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, where Jesus visits Martha and Mary. And in this story, Martha is very distracted because she's serving all the guests there, serving Jesus, and she looks over, and her sister Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and isn't lifting a finger to help with all the serving. And so Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." So I decided I was going to be Martha, which isn't too hard because I'm a Martha type person. I like to entertain, but it means, you know, serving, making sure everything's taken care of, making sure your guests are comfortable. So you're very busy doing that. And so I could relate to Martha. I could also relate to her because I have a sister named Mary Ellen, who is very social, so I could relate to this. So I really got into this passage, and I actually added a little prelude to it that I thought was probably, it wasn't in the Bible, but could have happened. And so I imagine Martha's brother Lazarus sticking his head into the kitchen saying to Martha, "Oh, Martha, sorry I forgot to tell you, but Jesus and a few of his disciples are coming over for dinner in about 30 minutes. It's casual, no big deal." Martha goes, "No big deal? Jesus, the Son of God, is coming to dinner in 30 minutes? Oh my golly, I gotta get working here. I gotta get going." So So Jesus comes and Mary's busy, you know, Simon Peter, do you need any more wine? How about bread? Thomas, don't doubt my bread, Thomas. It's really great. It's good. So I see her, I mean, I'm Martha now, and I'm busy serving everybody, and I turn around, and I see Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus, not lifting her finger, and I go to Jesus. I said, tell Mary to help me here, and Jesus says, come over here and sit with me, and he takes my hand, and he says, Jean Marie, you worry and you're anxious about so many things. The important thing is to sit and listen to me. He said, leave all your worldly worries at my feet and just sit and listen. And that's just stuck with me ever since then. Because there are times in my regular life where I get like Martha and I get anxious and worried and I'm taking care of everybody and I just have to stop and sit and put all those worries at Jesus' feet and listen to him. And so that's a lesson I learned from the Follow program that just sticks with me a lot. And I hope you'll take the opportunity to sign up for Follow Christ. You don't have to have taken the Discover Christ experience to do that. But this whole program has just deepened my faith so much, and I hope to take the opportunity to do that too, because you'll be surprised how much you can grow through the program. So that's what I had to say.
And if you would have the courage to stay there, I have a few questions for you. But one of the things I really like to point out is what happened during her prayer experience when she was using her imagination. God works through that, and God speaks to us individually through the scenes and the passages and the words of Scripture. Many people have testified to that throughout the years. It is the church's belief that praying with the Scripture, especially the Gospels, the risen Lord himself reveals himself to us, and that's one of the powerful things that happened. It isn't just her imagination, but her imagination was an important part of God, giving God the opportunity to speak to her in a particular way. And so that's what I think happened. But I would like to ask you, Jean Marie Bruno, this way of praying that you just described using your imagination in the Gospels, was that ever a way of praying that you had heard of before this experience?
No, I didn't have any formal training or introduction to any ways of prayer before, so it was interesting to try a new method like that, and it was challenging to do.
Was it? Did it just come right away, or?
No. the first thing was to try to find a place and a time to pray every day. In a busy life, you just need to kind of find, so that was part of the challenge. Yeah. But then to try these new methods, it wasn't comfortable at first, but we sort of had a week to try it out, and each day got a little better, a little easier.
And that's a common experience in prayer too. It's hard to find places and time, and once you start doing it, it doesn't seem like prayer, it doesn't seem to click. But with persistence and encouragement, because she would come back every week, a small group, and have to report back, and she didn't want to report back, I didn't do anything.
Right. Peer pressure.
And so the small group encourages us to pray, too. And so is this a type of prayer that you continue to this day? Or
I use that method occasionally, but there was a different way that you had mentioned to prayer that works better for me. I read each day the daily readings that would be at a daily mass, and then I reflect on the gospel and read it slowly several times, and then see if there's a word or a phrase that kind of pops out, and then kind of pray with that and reflect on that and see if that's something I could put into my day and my week from that gospel passage. And that was one of the methods you had taught us.
Okay. And then finally, is there any other benefits that we haven't touched on that you really found from this experience?
Well, we have a prayer group that came from our first Discover and Follow group that we stayed together, and there are about 10 women that we meet 2 times a month, and we pray over the gospel passage for the next Sunday, and then we have our prayer intentions. Anyway, it's and social. So it's really a nice, wonderful group. But I think one of the biggest benefits is when I come to Mass, I know people now. I can, you know, when we greet in the beginning of the Mass or during the Peace Be With You, I know the people around me and across the aisle and feel part of the family here at Our Lady. And that's very valuable to me.
And I would guess, but I'm not sure, also the whole Mass itself is more meaningful. The scriptures, the messages are more profound, the music, the prayers, because you've been preparing and
praying. Absolutely, and really an understanding that it's really Jesus there in the Eucharist. It had not really sunk in before that's really Jesus there.
Okay, we could go on all day, but I have tea times. No. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. And so in summary, the process of becoming a disciple of Jesus, all of us are on. And no matter where we are, God wants to reveal more of himself, give us more of his gifts, so that we can be more convincing and persuasive and beautiful witnesses of his love for us, that he is still with us. So I hope that you would consider joining us still for the Follow Christ experience. There's still ways to register through the yellow cards in your pew, but also to continue to develop and give him opportunities to show himself and his love to you, to change your life, to turn us from lost to found, from sin to virtue, and from living without true purpose to living boldly with purpose, to be fully alive. That is his will for us. It's a miracle. We can't make it happen on our own. He wants to do that in each of us, each in our own way, but we must give him the opportunities through our prayer, through our reading of scripture, through our service, and through the breaking of the bread and the sacrament.